All right, let's continue on. Let's come to the book of Jeremiah. And as I mentioned before, read all of the book of Jeremiah, because the parallels with what is happening with us today are absolutely incredibly identical. Okay? Let's come to Jeremiah in the second chapter. You know, Jeremiah was a priest from Anathoth, and even the fellow priests, once he started his ministry as a prophet, were against him and wanted to kill him. See, people don't like to hear the truth. They don't like to hear that everyone is a sinner and everyone needs God and everyone needs to repent and everyone needs to keep his commandments. They don't like that. Well, I believe this. I believe that. I think this. I think that. That's every man doing what is right in his own eyes. Okay? So let's begin here in chapter 2. Verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember you. God remembers us. The kindness of your youth, the love of your betrothals, when you went after me in the wilderness in a land not sown. Israel was holiness to the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. And he was going to use them to take his word to all the nations of the world. All that devour him shall be held guilty. Evil shall come upon them, says the Lord. So God will recompense. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Now, as we read this, let's understand something. Prophecies are dual. Sometimes they are triple, having many different applications because it's precept upon precept and line upon line. You have a fulfillment to Israel of old. You have a fulfillment to Israel at the end time. So he says, verse 5, thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me? All right, examine the Ten Commandments. Tell God what's wrong with them. Okay? Anything wrong with them? Not a thing. How about his statutes and judgments? Not a thing. How about his Sabbath and holy days? Great blessing. What injustice has your fathers found in me that they have gone far from me and have walked after vanity and have become vain? If you don't believe that is so, just sit up after 10 o'clock. If you can't go to sleep, turn on your television and just surf through all 100 or 200 of the channels that you have. And you'll see nothing but vanity, 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 vanity. And you watch these dumb commercials, and you would think that everybody in the world is happy. Everything's working perfectly. And just compare that when you watch the news. Look at the commercials. We're all happy. Okay? Everything works good, even this medicine, though you may have suicidal thoughts. Though it may kill your liver, okay? Become vain. Nor did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt? Who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of dry places and of deep darkness, through a land that no man passed through where no man lived. And I brought you to a plentiful country. What is it, you know, from sea to shining sea? God bless America. Okay? All of the grain, all of the corn, the beautiful places, the most beautiful place on earth came from God. I brought you into a plentiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my inheritance an abomination. That's what we are doing. Look what we have done. Think about all the things we're doing with genetic engineering to food. The priest did not say, "Where is the Lord?" They who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also rebelled against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, who is sun god, and walked after things that do not profit. Now let's stop and think just a minute. If you had children who did this way to you, what would you do? What would you do? Become so bad that you have to put them away, right? You have to tell them, don't come here anymore. You have to tell them you're living your life a curse. Till you repent, there's no hope. All too many families, that's just the way it is, isn't it? What would you do? Well, what do you expect God to do when he's creator of it all? When he made it all? When he gave it to us? When he put all the nations in their inheritance? So he says, verse 9, "Therefore I will contend with you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will contend." And then he says, "Pass over to the coast of Kittim and see. Send to Kedar and carefully consider and see if there has ever been such a thing as this." And today it's happening in many nations. Has a nation changed their gods who are yet no gods? Do the Buddhists still have Buddha? Do the Catholics still have Mary and all their saints? Do the Muslims still have their Mecca that they go to? He says, "But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit." That's exactly where we are in the whole scheme of things, brethren. So you see, everybody's involved. "Be amazed, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be utterly desolated, says the Lord." Okay? "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Oh, we don't want God, but we'll use his word. We'll use this part of his word. That part of his word, no, we won't use. We'll form a better religion than what God has, see? Now, why does he say, "Be amazed, O heavens"? What did God say back in Deuteronomy 30? He said, "I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and he will bless you. But if not, I call heaven and earth against you this day." See? That these curses will come upon you. So that's why he says heaven's here. Verse 14, "Is Israel a servant? Or is he a servant of the house? Why has he become a prey?" And then he goes on showing, what profit does it do? You've gone, let's come down here to verse 17. "You have not brought this upon yourself, in that you have for, or have you not rather brought, not brought this upon yourself, in that you've forsaken the Lord your God when he led you by the way?" So he says, think on this. What profit is there in going the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Shior? Or what have you to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? How's that going to help you? If you leave God, what can help you? If you leave the true living God who gives you life, gives you health, everything that we do, what can you go to? What can profit? See? So God says, "Your own evil shall correct you, and your backslidings shall reprove you. Therefore, know and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and that my fear is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts." Yes, it is. Then he talks about how he's corrected them. Let's come over here to verse 26. After they said, after going after Baal, we're not defiled. We're just fine. Now, verse 26. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so that house of Israel is the house of Israel ashamed, they, their kings, their rulers, their priests, and their prophets, saying to a tree, oh, we evolved. Did you come from a tree? Did you come from a rock? Oh, no, the most intelligent come from chimpanzees. Didn't you know that? They're more advanced than anybody else. Saying to a tree, you are my father, and to stone you gave me birth. For they have turned their back to me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they will say, arise and save us. But where are your gods that you have made for yourselves? Let them arise, if they can save you in the time of your trouble. For according to the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah. Why will you contend with me? You have all sinned against me, says the Lord. Then he sends correction. Will they receive it? You know, if you went back to Washington, LDC, or DLC, the District of Liars and Corruption, you know, and you went back there like Jeremiah with a message. Now, we're going to see in a minute that Jeremiah had to stand in the gate of the temple and proclaim to him. Now, if anyone went back to Washington, D.C. and stood right in front of the White House and say, Mr. President, God commands you to repent and start with stopping lying. Hey, you'd be removed as a nut. Or if you went into the House of Representatives, full session. God says, stop all your lying and cheating, and God says, make it right. Repent. Well, the Capitol Police would escort you out. You'd be on the news. Look at this nut. Oh, they got him in a straitjacket. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, he needs to be in a straitjacket, right? Same way with the Senate, you know? Try your city council. Okay? Will any listen to God? Will any listen to his correction? No. They're all to blame. Says verse 30, I've stricken your children. They receive no correction. They're out. All they do is party, play, take drugs, produce illegitimate children. Not all of them. There are some who are not doing that. And most of those are homeschoolers, because at least there are some parents around somewhere who want their kids to be raised and be decent, and they teach them out of the Bible. Oh, but we got to outlaw that, because the public schools are going to go broke if we don't outlaw that. See? No one wants to do right. Your own sword has devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. Okay, so then he adds more to it. Come over here to chapter 5. No, come here to chapter 4, verse 1. Here's what God says. He says, come up here to chapter 3, verse 22. Okay? Context, everybody. You know context? Jeremiah 3:22, for those who are lost in turning pages. Okay. Here's what God says. Return, O backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. That's what they need to say. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the high hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. The shameful thing has eaten up the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds and their sons and their daughters. And we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covers us, for we have sinned against the Lord God, we and our fathers. From our youth even to this day, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Well, that's what kind of repentance needs to take place. Do you think that'll happen? I wonder how many of that will be down there in tornado land and in hurricane land and in flood land and in drought land, in fire land. Hey, all of those right in the middle of the country, right? Right in the Bible Belt. True? Where is God? Not true? Now, chapter 4 and verse 1. If, there it is again, you will return, O Israel, says the Lord, return to me, God says. Not to your religion, not to the way that your fathers have falsely taught you. And if you will put away your abominations out of my sight, break down your idols, stop all of this stupidity, then you shall not be removed. And will swear. Here's the covenant that they need to make. The Lord lives. In truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. That means in all manner of your behavior. Then the nation shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart. See, God wants real repentance and real conversion. Not whimpering because you got caught doing something wrong. Not temper tantrums because your favorite thing has been taken away from you. No. Men of Judah and Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn so that none can put it out because of the evil of your doings. Well, God means business. Is he creator? Is he all powerful? Everyone wants his love, but you don't want to do what he requires to receive his love. What did the Apostle John write about the love of God? For this is the love of God. What? That we keep his commandments. Is that so hard? Don't lust, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't lie. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Don't take God's name in vain. No idols, no other God. Not something, there is no other God. I'll take it back, there's one who thinks he is. It's called Satan the devil, God of this world. There's only one true God. See? Now to show you how just God is, we've read this before, but let's see what will happen here. Verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 1, rather. Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. So he told Jeremiah, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and see now and know, and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, one man, one man. If there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, and I will pardon her, that means all of Jerusalem. Couldn't find it. Okay? Couldn't find it. Come down here to verse 7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are not gods. Today, their cell phones. They walk around, all they have is their cell phone. Messaging, talking, planning, scheming. Now maybe some are doing some good with it. Okay? What are their gods? Friday night partying, Saturday night partying, rock stars, rap stars, movie stars. You know, the scum of the earth. They idolize them, emulate them. Okay? And when I fed them to the full, is that not where we are? Are we not as a nation fed to the full? Yes, over full. Yes. Remember it says back there in Deuteronomy, referring to Israel, it says, Jeshurun has waxed fat. Maybe we ought to take it literally. We have an obesity problem, right? When I fed them to the full. Okay, hold your place here and come back to Deuteronomy 8. Just for a minute. just to make a point here, Deuteronomy 8, God gave the warning. They had the word, but the priest didn't read the word. The rabbis didn't read the word. Okay? He says he would put them in a land where they would lack nothing. Now, verse 10, Deuteronomy 8. Here's what happens. They get contemptuous. They get narcissistic. They get selfish. They get spoiled brats. Verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and judgments and statutes which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and live in them, and when your herd and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, and you lied and cheated and stole and have it all on credit and it's going to fall in on your head. All right? Verse 14. Then you become haughty of heart, become lifted up in vain, and forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now what happens? Come back here to Jeremiah 5, verse 7. What do they do when that happens? When I fed them to the full, then they committed adultery. Not only adultery, but teaching perverse things beginning in kindergarten of homosexuality. Sopping Sodom and Gomorrah right up into our school system. Oh, but we need to be socially adjusted. Yes, indeed. And gathered themselves by troops in a harlot's house, and were like lusty, well-fed stallions in the morning, everyone neighing after his neighbor's wife. Watch some of these beer commercials. It's exactly what they're doing. Shall I not punish for these things, says the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go up in her walls and destroy, but do not make a full end. Take away her branches, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very deceitfully against me, says the Lord. They have lied against the Lord and said, it is not he. No, these things don't come because of God. Neither shall evil come on us, nor shall we see sword nor famine. Oh, yes, we're good Americans, our ingenuity, our entrepreneurship. But it all came from God. And the prophets have become as wind, for the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you've spoken this word, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire. He's telling Jeremiah. And this people would, and it shall devour them. And I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, says the Lord, a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language you do not know nor understand what they say. They're going to take everything that you have. That's the rest of the chapter. Okay? Now, there are messages that have to be given. You go through all the book of Jeremiah, and you see all that Jeremiah had to do. It'll take your breath away. And then ask yourself, you know, all of those of you who you want to become preachers and prophets, you want to become like Jeremiah? You willing to suffer the ridicule that he went through? Come to chapter 7, see what God told him to do, right there at the temple. See, they were using the temple for all of their pagan things that they were doing. And also, Manasseh put in there. He had the women weave special weavings for special tents for the Sodomites, right in the temple grounds of God. That's how perverse they were. Chapter 7, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. House of God. where he put his presence, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all Jerusalem who enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings. Change what you are doing, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Do not trust in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Don't say lying words. Oh, we're good people. Oh, don't say good words. Oh, I have been saved. I have been born again. Don't say good words that our parents worked hard and we have this land. Don't say good words, we the people. Don't say good words, in God we trust. Repent. For if you will thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you will thoroughly execute judgment between man and his neighbor, this is what God wants us to do. Mend our ways, that's repentance. If you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, nor walk after other gods to your hurts, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. So upon repentance, God is willing to change, isn't he? Yes, he is. But he says, verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and then have the gall to say this, we are delivered to do all these abominations. I've got a report I'm going to mail out. It's a report of what the Catholics are doing to subvert the rest of the Protestants, in addition to the new international version of the Bible. That is, they're supporting the gay, lesbian, and transsexual organizations with millions of dollars to get the dissidents who leave the Protestants to continue in the religion but accept all the deviants, to destroy it. What happened to the Church of England? Ever read the book, All Roads Lead to Rome? What happened to the American branch of the Church of England, the Episcopalians? You remember how it divided? Ordained a homosexual as a priest. Split the church, right? Then later he married a man. Hallelujah, we've got it made. All those who are supposed to be serving God. What then can you expect of the children? We're delivered to do these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. So then he says, I want you to learn a lesson. I want you to go to Shiloh. Shiloh is where he first put the tabernacle. And I want you to see what I did to the people there. I want you to see what I did to that place. Okay? I want you to understand what happened. No one defies God and gets away with it. No one. Because God doesn't swoop down and destroy someone immediately doesn't mean that God approves of it. He's giving space of repentance. That's what God is doing, because God is merciful and kind. All right, let's come to the classic chapter here, Jeremiah 23. And let's see where all the blame starts, number one. Jeremiah 23. All these things are the result of God's punishment, and all of the people are to blame. All of the educators are to blame. All of the politicians are to blame, and all of the religionists are to blame. But let's see, the number one blame falls on the religionist, those who have the Bible and say, we have the way of the Lord. Verse 1. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, against the pastors who feed my people, you have scattered my flock, you have driven them away, and you have not taken care of them. Behold, I will bring upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. God is going to gather his people. There is always a remnant. It says there in Isaiah, the first chapter, that we are corrupt from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, and there's no soundness in us. And if there hadn't been a remnant, brethren, the church of God has got to wake up and repent too. We're the only remnant. You understand that? And it's part of the thing that's going on because the churches of God are playing games with God. Instead of repenting and leading people to God, they're fighting among themselves. Don't you not think that God is going to judge because of that? Okay. Come over here. Okay. Verse 9. Here's Jeremiah looking out. He sees all of this going on, and he's got this message. And he's got to go right to the people, right to the temple, right to the king, right to the princes. Okay? Verse 9. As for the prophets, my heart within me is broken. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine has overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers because of swearing. The land mourns. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up and their course is evil, and they wield power unjustly. Listen, it's not global warming that's causing the problems on the earth, brethren. It is the sins of the people and the sins of the church. And I've asked those who knew, why do you think God got rid of Pasadena and Big Sandy and Bricketwood? Most don't even know. They look and say, well, evil men crept in. How did they get in? Because of sin. So God spewed it all out of his mouth. So we need to think and wake up too. What's happening? I mean, you look at all these tornadoes, and you look what it's done. It has just chewed homes up into piles of kindling. Nothing left. Dead people, injured people, weeping people, broken-hearted people. And I hope that the ministers down there are saying, hey, everybody, brethren, we better get here and repent to God. And I hope those ministers and pastors down there are Sunday keeping, and they all know in their heart that the Sabbath is the day of the Lord, not Sunday, that they get the people in there and say, look, God has punished us. We've had enough. Are you willing now to change and repent? Are you willing now to come to God? Are you willing now to quit your lying and cheating and stealing? Are you willing now to keep the Sabbath, to keep the holy days, to reject Christmas, to reject Easter, and all of those things? Are you willing? I doubt it. I doubt it. Verse 11, both the prophet and the priest are ungodly. Yea, in my house I found their evil. So their way shall be to them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall in their ways, and I will bring evil on them even the year of their judgment. There comes a time when God judges. And if all of these things are not the judgment of God, you know, as someone said, hey, maybe someone up there in heaven's trying to tell us something. Kind of like the governor of Tokyo with the disasters that happened there. He says, this is judgment from heaven. Absolutely true. Will we say that? Oh, no. Oh, no. We can't admit that. We're good people. Verse 13, I've seen repulsive things in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesy by Baal and cause my people Israel to go astray. Baal is sun worship. Sunday is Baal's day. Easter, Christmas, those are all Baal's days. And Baal is none other than Nimrod. I've also seen in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They have also strengthened the hand of evildoers so that none returns from his evil. They are all of them like Sodom to me and are inhabitants like Gomorrah. What does God see when he looks down on a city? What does God see when he looks down on cities that are called the murder capital of the world? God sees it all. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them wormwood and make them drink poisonous water, for from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has gone forth into all the land. Is that what has happened? Because we have preachers stand up and say, oh, the law is done away. Perfect law from a perfect God so that we can live with him and have a relationship with him. Oh, it's done away. You think that they are going to show you the way to God? Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you vain. They speak a vision from their own heart, not out of the mouth of the Lord. And they still say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And they say to everyone who walks after the imagination of his own heart, bless you, brother, you're under grace. No evil shall come upon you. Is that true? Yes, indeed. For who stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and hear his word? Who has attended to his word and heard it? Behold, the tempest of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a whirling tempest. Sound like tornadoes? Sound like hurricanes, which are gigantic tornadoes, right? It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he is executed, until he has performed the purpose of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it perfectly. So this whole prophecy is for our day, isn't it? There it is right there. God says, I've not sent those prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if, and I love this verse, because God says that he exalts his word above his name, Psalm 138. Now read this. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, even the prophets of Baal, God would have honored if they would have used his word to teach the people God's way. Think of that. Now, there were times in years past when the Protestants almost did that. They did it to a pretty good degree. Everything except Sunday. Then they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. That's what God wants. Am I a God who is near, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Yes, he's there. He's got his seven spirits, which are his seven eyes, to go to and fro on the earth to find those who are seeking him. He's got angels communicating to him. He knows the spirit of every man. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. Is that not correct? Yes, indeed. Verse 24. Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, says the Lord? I've heard what the prophets said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. Eh? How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies, who are prophets of the deceit of their own heart? Goes on and on and on and on, doesn't it? They scheme to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams. And they tell each one his neighbor as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. So it comes down a dividing line. And we have to make the choice. The world has to decide whether they're going to repent or not. And we've got to make as much of this information available as possible. Notice what he says. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. And the one who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. I look at that, and I take that as a personal command from God. Whatever we do with the word of God, we do it faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Why is all of this coming? Verse 30, therefore, behold, I am against the prophets who steal my words, each one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets who use their tongue and say, he says, when I did not say. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams and tell them and cause my people to go astray by their lies and their wantonness. Yet I did not send them nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people, says the Lord. Well, that's why these things are coming upon us. Now, we'll have a respite after this is over. Will there be change? Will there be repentance? Will there be a coming to God? What will it be? And when this people or the prophet or a priest ask you, saying, what is the oracle of the Lord? You shall say to them, what oracle? I will even forsake you, says the Lord. That's what's happening. We are seeing God forsake this nation. And the whole world is being set up for a world government, a world currency, a world religion, in rebellion and defiance against God. And they are going to put the yoke of slavery upon the modern descendants of the 10 tribes of Israel. What's going to happen? There it is in the Word of God. Okay? So who's to blame? Everyone. From the top, from the greatest, to the bottom, to the least. And the churches of God are right in there with it. And we need to change. And we need to repent. Teach the Word of God the way it should be. So be careful when you point the finger. Because always remember, at least three are pointing back to you. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.